in, you know, your mixes and initial releases with these narrative elements. I mean, could you elaborate on how the concept influences your approach to creating albums and mixes as well? Because fact, I listened to Fact Mix prior to this interview as well. And how do you weave this storytelling into your music, and what themes or narrative can listeners expect to encounter in your debut album? Because it was years ago, but still, when first step into this world, what can we see there?
I mean, it's an interesting one. I think my approach to storytelling through music is sort of a bit of a reverse. There's not a narrative before it. It's very instinctive, and I follow the thread that the music is leading.
Intuitive, you can say.
Yeah. I'm sort of, I don't know, I'm plucking at things and seeing what sticks, and then a storyline reveals itself afterwards, rather than having something in mind before. I try and meet a project where it wants to be met. So I'm constantly rising up to the point where the music is to find it. And then that's what creates this kind of weaving storyline where it's this reverse approach almost. And lyrics become like atmosphere, and it's the transitions and the key changes and things which actually become the characters, if that makes sense.
And even the title of your album is kind of made up world, or your, you know, intuitive thing, right?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, it's just a misheard lyric. Which I thought was quite fun. There were so many other names I was going to go with, and then at the last second I was like, no. I changed.
And also I heard there was an allusion with Jason and Argonauts, right? With your
kind of, yeah. It was, so the name, the Horgonite, there's a track by Tom Waits called Cemetery Polka. And one of the lines is independent as a hog on ice.
On ice. And this hog on ice is
a kid, hog on ice. Yeah. And I think also because having seen Jason and the Argonauts, like the old 80s movie, when I was a kid, and not really remembering it that well, I always kind of linked the word Argonauts to the Hydra.
Yeah.
Like that big kind of creature with all the necks. And so Argonaut, Horgonite, all these, so it just sounded like a big monster. And I was like, that's kind of a good representation of the sound of this album. I want to kind of like burst out of the ground with like clay and metal and leather and all of these pipes and necks and this big sort of like loud musical beast.
And it really resonates your album sonically, because there's moments where you can easily notice this metal influence, but there's something then really quiet, and this something coming from classically trained guy as well. This, you know, sometimes the right silences, the moment of relaxation, and then boom again, and these twists and turns are really important in this storytelling. And then one, I have to mention this fun fact, because this, the myth of Jason and Argonauts ends up in a place where they are seeking to find this golden fleece, and this historical place is, let's say, maybe 40 kilometers away from where I was born. It's Black Sea. It's the same place.
That's amazing. Have you been? Yeah. Have you looked for the police?
Yeah. So it's, and culturally, you know, sometimes you see this myth from different perspective. And for us and for the people, it's something like someone came to our land and, you know, take something away from us. And
hold something.
Yeah. And for the rest of the world, it's a very different story. They have sympathy with this Jason and the people around him going, but for us it's really different, because he kind of stole something really important from us, and also there's lots of different interpretations. So when I heard about this Jason and Singh, I was like, okay, I have to mention that this place is right next to our first place. And yeah,
That's
sometimes,
so crazy. Wow.
Yeah, because
I
this
love that
coffee
even
is.
myths have like kind of like politics involved.
Yeah, it was really, really influential myth, because you can really see your this place in ancient mythology and so on and so on. Also, I have heard a really interesting fact that you have mentioned previously that you don't enjoy rehearsals and never rehearse your set before you go to public. So when performing in front of, you know, diverse audiences in various settings, also we can find this link with Intonal Festival. Do you tend to adapt your performance to align more closely with this audience's background and preferences, or is your primary, you know, objective to invite them into your artistic world regardless of their initial expectation and so on and so on?
I mean, the one of the reasons that I haven't rehearsed this show is because all of the spaces are so different every time. Like there's a completely different crowd. Even the shape of the room is completely different. Like the time that I'm playing, like every element about it is different every single time. So if I get stuck in rehearsing it a particular way, then I'm going to run into problems and not be able to do certain things. So I try and leave it as open as possible. The backing music and the order of the tracks is usually the same, unless I feel like making some changes beforehand. I mean, it was for the tours. The individual shows that I have coming up actually are all different. But the movements and the live instrument moments are all dependent on the vibrational space of the room and the number of people and kind of the energy from the crowd shape, and all of these different elements will affect it, and also like how my day has been, what I've eaten, like all of this kind of stuff.
It's
yeah,
personal
I think
aspect,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's there's definitely a world that I'm bringing people into, but mostly it's me, like I'm watching the performance as well. Me and the audience are seeing this. I can't remember who said this quote, but it's something about the performer and the audience witness a rising. So something coming up, which is created between the two of them.
Yeah, they are both contributing something to make it happen. Yeah.
Completely. Yeah. And that's what makes the show so special. Even when you do it like 15 times in a month for a tour, every single one is different. And that's what makes it like, yeah.
Yeah, exciting every time, yeah.
Exactly.
You said that there's current projects you are working on, and let us know more of what can we expect from you in nearest future. In terms of releases or shows or collaborations, etc.
So I'm doing a few little shows here and there, like festivals and things, which is quite fun. But I haven't started yet, I shouldn't say that. I'm about to start working on a new release. Hopefully, because I decided not to go on any tours this year because I want to have time to actually practice, to start rehearsing and make some new music. I want to, like, I've been having a really good time, but I want to shake things up. I want to change how I approach things, just to try something else, and see what can happen. So I'm kind of in research phase at the moment, sort of like sending tendrils out into the world and seeing
taking your
around.
Time and preparing for something really important.
Yeah, totally. So gestation, research, learning, soaking things up, that's the mood at the moment. But this year is going to be very much working on that new release, so that's exciting. But I also, I'm kind of, because I now finally have some time, I really wanted to do this last year, but I didn't have any time because I was touring for the whole thing. But I'm collaborating lots for the first time ever. Like I've never really done, apart from playing in an orchestra or in like a band when I was a teenager or something, I've never brought this kind of music world, which is incredibly personal and really specific. I've never sort of opened that up to other people before. And I actually had a really exciting residency last week, which was with another artist, Bethany Lay, who we've never worked together before, but we were sort of put in a studio for 3 days, and it was just like, do whatever you like for 3 days.
Messing up with sound in there,
Yeah,
yeah.
completely. And I also didn't have a laptop. My laptop wasn't working at the time, so it was really kind of like there was zero tether. I was just like thrown out into the air and just sort of like trying to
Yeah.
find some ground somewhere. And yeah, Bethany is a really incredible artist and wonderfully positive and things, which sort of created this new ground for me for those 3 days. And yeah, we worked on some really exciting stuff. I'm also doing some bits with other artists, but I can't name any at the moment because
No
it's their
problem, yeah.
releases. But there's a few. Yeah, it's cute. I'm
That's
having a very
good.
good time.
Accusare dicentes.
It's raining today, and I'm just about to forget the train window girl that wonderful day we met. She smiles through the smoke from my cigarette. It's raining today, but once there was summer and you and dark little and sleep in late afternoons. Those moments descend on my windowpane. I've hung around too long, listening to the old landlady's hard luck stories. You out of me, me out of you. We go like lovers to replace the empty space. Repeat our dreams to someone new. Thank you.
God entered into my body like God in my senses, like me floating into you, you floating into me. Holy Ghost baptism. And God is ripping and tearing my face right now. I saw the Lord in a vision the other day, and he said, I'm going to give you mange. I woke up this morning choking on my own hair falling out. My hair is falling out. The Lord told me that he saved me to make me perish. As I'm making this video, I'm starting to bleed. See the blood starting to come out of me? God is right now. I saw the Lord in a vision, and he was floating toward me with his fingers sticking out like Superman. And he said, the devil's about to touch your face. And he touched me right there. Now God inside of me is tightening up my mouth right there. And he's ripping and tearing that every time I move it. The Lord appeared to me laughing, and he said, you tempt me if you look good. And then he reappeared and said, you tempt me if you open your mouth. That means I can't eat. Look it up. I go to work tomorrow. The Lord appeared and said, I'm going to make you lose that job. If you read the Bible, Job, God called Job perfect. But Job is under attack by God. He said, the arrows of the Almighty are against me. Job laid in his front yard for 21 days, fasting. He was laying there to die. He told the Lord, if you won't let me live for you, then let me die for you. Then I'll die for you. And God finally repented, because all of Israel saw what God did to Job. That was perfect. See the blood coming out?
can take you places you ain't never been before. Baby, take a chance or you'll never ever know. I got money in my hands that it really like to blow. Swag, swag, swag. On you. Chillin' by the fire while we eating fondue. I don't know about me, but I know about you. So say hello to falsetto. In three. Two.
I thought that I've been hurt before. But no one's ever left me quite this sore. Your words cut deeper than knife. Now I need someone to breathe me back to life. Got a feeling that I'm going under, but I know that I'll make it out alive. If I quit calling you my lover and move on, you watch me bleed until I can't breathe. Shaking, falling onto my sense the pain. Your bitter heart cold to the touch. Now I'm gonna reap what I sow. I'm left seeing red on my own. Got a feeling that I'm going under, but I know that I'll make it out alive. If I quit calling you my lover, we'll move on. You watch me bleed until I can't. Shaking, falling onto my knees. And now that I'm without your kisses, I'll be needing stitches. Tripping over myself, aching, begging you to come out. And now that I'm without your kisses, I'll be needing stitches.
me for